Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Prime time on 1080 The Fan. This is the Fan's U.S. Open Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
It's U.S. Open Week on Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Ooh, I like that edit, Mike. That is a pro radio
he
edit.
He cleaned it up.
I fixed it.
He fixed it.
Yep.
Yes. What it do?
Ahoy!
You like that little prelude?
I did. Yeah, like a teaser trailer sort of thing.
Yeah.
Before entering the show.
That's going to be our new thing.
Yeah.
You're going to be sponsored.
Give you a little something, something. This prelude brought to you by insert
Mills
whatever.
Mills for Up.
There you go.
He's our only sponsor.
He's a hunk. Well, it's U.S. Open Week, so it's brought to you by, you know, somebody.
Langdon Farms.
There you go.
Langdon Farms, man. I tell you what, I was out there today.
Where, did you get out and play?
I did not play.
Hit some balls?
But I did practice, and I tried to wear my N95, but that didn't work, so I just took it off. But I did.
So you sucked down like 15 heaters today.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, the Mariners can play in this. Well, they can't today, but they played yesterday. So if the Mariners
they played
can,
two games yesterday.
Yeah, if the Mariners can do it, hey, man, you can do it.
Well, I thought I was going to be the only guy out there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was pushing it.
You're going to be that guy?
Well, yeah, because, air quality.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No, it is not.
But I told my wife, I'm like, I got this N95.
It is extremely hazardous.
I have got to swing a golf club or I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Whatever will you do?
That's no good.
Oh.
So I went down there and I saw all kinds of people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have not...
people out there smoking heaters. Seriously.
Really?
Saw two guys smoking heaters.
Well,
Some LPGA gals were out there practicing.
Well, we talked about this yesterday, is that the smoking man, or gal, let's be fair, the smokers out there, they are the most resilient people on the planet. They will not be stopped. They will get their sweet, sweet addiction regardless of the conditions that are going on.
I think RJ was making this point. If you think about it, if you're a smoker...
Yeah. Yeah, health.
What do you care? Like, yeah, I do this every day. Like, this is the air quality that I put into my lungs.
Do you think someone out there, because they said that if you're out there, and the thing is, they didn't tell you how long. They just said, if you're out there, it's like smoking 15 cigarettes. You think some 4-pack-a-day guy just laughs at that? It's
yes.
Like, 15 cigarettes? He's like, I'm better off going outside. This is going to cure my habit. Bring it on.
Yeah, he was built for this.
What are you talking about? I've been preparing for this my entire life.
So I was out there.
Yeah.
And I saw several people.
I have not ventured out to yesterday I did. I went up on my roof and worked. But that's more of a necessity sort of thing because the rain was coming. I've yet to take a leisure activity outside.
Oh, yes, all of the rain.
Well,
no rain.
It's supposed to come, and my gutters, I don't know about anyone else's, was filled with debris from, you know, the great windstorm there. So, and I did put on the N95 mask and got up there and, you know, I took care of business. I still haven't patched the hole in the murder shed, though. That's still there, but I got a tarp over it.
I feel great.
Yeah?
I like this air.
It's better than the air inside the building.
Yeah, you want to tell everybody what's going on at Intercom Portland today?
Well, apparently we had the sub pump in the kitchen has failed for years and years. So we've just had apparently a buildup of wastewater. And then someone came in to fix it today and didn't realize that it wasn't functioning. And then I guess it just it blew up.
No, he was doing the safety valve, checking the safety valve, which was malfunctioning.
And it exploded.
And it exploded.
Yeah.
And he was covered.
Yeah, and poo-poo? He was covered in poo-poo?
No.
Well, wastewater.
Just water.
It's sink water.
Have you ever replaced an old washing machine?
Yes.
Yeah. That, I mean, that water sits in there for years and years. And if anyone's ever done that, you have it leak out. It's a horrid smell. And I'm imagining that this is 10 times as bad because you've got food and everything rotten in there. It smells like Bigfoot's ween, or if I have officially dubbed it Chewbacca's ween. That's how bad it is. It's and you smell it before you even get in the building. Like, we've opened all the doors because the outside smell is way better than anything we have going on inside.
Yeah, let's go down the rabbit hole of the number of issues we're facing.
Well, we got snakes.
We don't care about the pandemic. That's fifth on the list.
Well, it's still there. I mean, we have to mask up and people aren't allowed in the building. So we've
fourth.
We've got pandemic going on. There's snakes in the building. What else we got? We got the
wildfire smoke,
which has leaked into the building. But now we're welcoming it with open arms because now we've got like 20 years of wastewater that apparently has exploded inside the building.
By the way, this is the least shocking story of the day.
Yeah, no one really. When we found out that news, collectively, everyone just kind of went,
that's about right.
Yeah, that's about. It's
so
on par.
Welcome to our show as we broadcast from the poop, smoke, and snake-riddled hallways of Intercom Portland.
Yes, somehow we press on. I mean, it makes sense. We are on the banks of the Willamette River, and all of those things are readily available if you go outside. We're just bringing a little bit of nature to us. It's almost like we're having a fireside river picnic at this point, and it's wonderful.
Frankly, the outside air is fresher air than this air on the inside.
It's not good.
It smells so bad.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's vomit-inducing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, is there anything we can't broadcast in?
Well, I'm assuming there's something, but up until this point, I don't think we found it.
If the room was filled with water, you probably couldn't broadcast.
What heroes we are.
Well, define, you know, filled with water.
Filled.
Like ankle deep, we'll be okay.
Filled.
Yeah.
Literally filled.
I mean,
yeah,
I'll,
that'd be tough.
I'll do like a diaper float. You put on the Life Vest upside down, stuff some beer in the front of it, and I'm good.
Yes, yeah, I think you're not understanding. Filled.
Well.
To the ceiling.
You can't do that. It's not a watertight room, Mike.
Don't be
this
ridiculous,
Mike. It's clearly going to spill out.
Why do they call it a sump pump?
I don't know. I don't know what that stands for. I just know that when it fails, it ain't good. Now we're all Googling. We're like, sump pump? Figure out this what's happening here?
I thought it was called a sub pump. When you corrected me with sump, I was like, oh, I don't know.
Sump like dump.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. It's just a dump pump. And they're like, ah, we can't say that. I'll throw it. I'm sure it has something to do with septic, right? I'm guessing that's what the S is? No.
I don't know. So I asked you.
Yeah, it just says, according to Wikipedia, it's a pump used to remove water that is accumulated in a water-collecting sump.
I know, but why is it called a sump?
Well, because it collects in a sump basin. I don't know why it's called a sump basin, but it is.
Where are you sump bros?
Oh, someone out there. There's got to be a wastewater dude that deals with this.
Yeah, that's like, ah, oh, finally. They're like, finally talking about
waiting
it.
Waiting all these years.
Do you think the wastewater dude has also had a failed sump pump explode all over him?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
If you deal with this?
I'm sure you have.
Hell yeah. That's probably a normal thing for them.
Years and years ago when I lived up in Sioux Mountain in La Center, we were digging a new hole for a septic tank. There was an old septic tank on the property that was made out of metal. And while we were digging the new one for the concrete one, I guess the only thing holding that tank together was the dirt around it. And as we dug, the tank just ruptured. And we ended
up exploded.
Yeah. Like the side of it. And we just ended up like all the waste from the septic tank spilled into the new hole. And so we ended up with like a cesspool that it's a similar, just like that sort of smell.
I'm going to guess septic tank is worse.
Yeah. But I'm just saying it's very similar to that where there is a physical like response to it. You can't just shrug that off and be like, oh, that's a bad smell. The guy's like, sir, I'm going to need you to come outside. And you walk outside and immediately you're like, oh, there has been an ecological disaster. Now I'm going to vomit. Same sort of thing. Like when you get a whiff of it, like there are certain smells that you aren't going to be able to overcome.
It's happening in this room right now. So the door is closed,
yeah,
which is blocking off some of the smell. But there's almost like a little bit of like that tingly tightness in your stomach right now, at
sure.
least for me.
Yeah.
It's like there at the edge, like, don't get a whiff. Don't you dare get another whiff. It's going to suck.
Yeah, it really is bad. RJ is in. He says, the Willamette is currently worried about the Intercom water contamination, water contaminating the river water. And boy, that's saying something. The poop-filled Willamette is sending us a sternly worded letter to avoid.
There's like a fish contact. Popping its head up right now, being like, I don't like the look of this.
You keep your crap over there.
Yeah, we'll deal with dead bodies in the poop, but no, not this.
Is it good or bad to have your own septic tank? Is that a bad thing?
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, you know how some people, you know, you live out on a lot.
Yeah, you got to. I mean, if you're not connected to the city system.
Right, but is that good or bad?
I didn't mind it until mine ruptured.
I would have meant, right. See, you're like, oh, this is kind of cool. We got our own. And then you're like, whoa.
But this was
mine. This is really bad.
And mine was from the olden days. And once you put in the new concrete ones, and that's the thing is, because I had bought the house like 5 years earlier, so I asked the guy, I'm like, how the hell did that pass inspection? Because we were getting ready to sell the house, and one of the things was we needed to put a new septic tank in. And I said, how on earth did that fail? How did that pass inspection? And the guy goes, well, it didn't. He goes, someone just bribed someone. And I was like, oh, wonderful. So I was like, there's people out there inspecting things? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, slip them a couple bucks.
Well, that's rural.
That's rural. Yeah. A lot don't go around here.
Yeah, they don't care.
No. And you don't want to know how I dealt with it. So just accept the fact that it was taken care of.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be hooked up, be played safe. I play it safe, on the septic front.
You're probably right. But when you live out in the country, you don't have.
Sometimes you got to.
Well, when you live out there, like I was on a well and you're on a septic and you just, you know.
Did you like the idea that you had a well?
No. Because
that you could throw the bodies into.
The well water was gross. Yeah. You had to constantly treat it. Otherwise, you had that that rotten eggs kind of smell to it. And there's a lot of heavy iron in it. And so you were constantly having to battle that. It's not good.
Yeah,
I did not enjoy the well. Septic tank, I didn't mind up until the very end. But the well, is no good.
Here is a text that says it's called a sump pump because you use it when you need to pump out a little something.
it's always pump a little something.
That, I enjoyed.
Good times.
I enjoyed that a lot.
Someone's saying it's from Middle English Dutch or German for something equals swamp.
Yeah, people make stuff up all the time.
I want to believe
this. Is that made up?
I want to believe that someone's like, fake news. Clearly this is from Middle English or maybe it's Dutch or German.
I just want the first one to be right. just pumping a little something.
Pump a little something. A little something, something.
You know it'll be a little something coming out of there.
There is a little something coming. I feel bad for the guy that got hit with it. Because you think about the smell, and here we are all these hours later. Some dude.
He then had to clean it.
Some dude got a face full of that. I hope that guy gets hazard pay, because that's not good. That's just horrific.
Yeah, we should pay him extra. We're pretty much sure we won't.
No, probably not. Maybe put in like a collection form. I got like $6. I can throw that in as a tip.
I mean, maybe two for me. Look, that's his job.
We're up to like $8 right now. He's doing good.
Now, if he also gets the snakes out of here.
Now, well, maybe the
my donation goes up.
Maybe the smell will drive the snakes out, right? Maybe, or it's going to bring them in. I don't know.
Not even snakes want to attack Intercom Portland.
A snake just rolls up there and is like, no, sorry.
You're like, ugh. Next building.
We're going to leave now. There's like all the rats and rodents and snakes and critters. You just see them heading for the hills.
They're all over at Old Spaghetti Factory. Like, this is way better. They have bread.
They do. And by the way,
are they open?
I'm going to say yes.
They open over there?
Maybe not for dine-in, but I'm sure for takeout. Best thing at the Spaghetti Factory, the bread.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, they got that little garlic thing. They give you like a big loaf of it.
Yeah. All right, you ready to talk some sports?
Sure. Let's get right to it.
We've got what?
Are any of us going to get sick during the show?
It's possible.
I don't feel sick.
Now, once you're in here and the door is shut, it's a lot
better. I
actually
don't smell it.
Really?
Not right now.
You've got nose blind to it.
Yeah.
Rob's adjusted to it.
It's probably because I've got all the smoke in my nose.
It does. It's
golfing today.
Golfing.
It's a lot better when you have
I'm going to put on my mask.
Yeah, but if we have to go out and go to the bathroom or fill the water.
It's not good.
What do you guys think now?
You a little muffled?
Sounds like you're wearing a mask.
Can you guys hear that out there in Radio Land?
I think they can.
I'm doing radio with a mask.
Yeah, I mean, we've experimented with that, and we've decided
it's okay.
It's not a good idea.
It isn't?
No.
Why?
You sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Womp, 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 womp,
womp, womp,
womp. Well, the football?
the football? Would you like to be more specific about which football?
Do you think Vic Fangio knows that timeouts exist?
No.
Do you think he knows that?
Is that where we have to start?
Yeah. He called timeout. Drew Locke sucks. We know that.
No.
Yeah, he sucks.
I don't think he does.
He sucks.
He doesn't suck.
I don't like him.
He's not great, but he doesn't suck.
He went to Missouri.
He's totally right down the middle.
Okay, well, it sounds like we need to start there.
Well, and you got the Big Ten, and there's some Pac-12
news. Yes.
Have you seen all the Big Ten Twitter accounts?
And it's the night of the NBA. What do you mean? No, I don't follow Big Ten Twitter.
So all of the, like, Ohio State's and Penn State, they're just tweeting out photos of, like, players like nervously twitching, just like sitting there and like their legs shaking or like hands twiddling, almost as if there's something coming. The Penn State, Ohio State, that's all they're tweeting out now. No context to it, just nervous players kind of shifting back and forth.
Okay, well.
So it's coming today.
The Big Ten's going to play, huh?
Big Ten's going to play.
Wow. You told us they wouldn't.
Are we sure that that's the announcement that they're playing?
I can't imagine that there would be any other announcement. I would be stunned at this point.
I would be too.
Ball's in the Pac-12's court.
Which they're not going to do anything.
They will do nothing.
Because
two states still can't practice.
Well, do you see that? Well, we can talk about it.
We got more segments.
USC has penned a letter.
Oh.
The power of the pen.
Can't wait for a letter to change Larry Scott's mind.
I love letters. I'm going to start writing sternly worded letters.
So remember, this has nothing often to do with Larry Scott now. You need two governors.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
I love volcanoes.
You need two governors in the Pac-12. They're the ones that will decide when this goes.
All right. Well, we've suddenly got a lot to get to.
Suddenly.
Let's wrap up Monday Night Football next on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our poll question today. 1080thefan.com, as always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. A family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. How is Pac-12 Athletica doing managing the pandemic? You like that?
I see what you did there.
Athletica.
Look at you being so clever.
Uh-huh. Terrible. Canceled too soon. Just okay. Not easy to navigate. Or excellent. Using data and science. Vote.
Look, science.
1080thefan.com.
Science doesn't matter anymore. We've all thrown science to the wind. Let's just pull an Ed Orgeron. LSU's sitting pretty right now. Ed Orgeron came out today and said his entire team, with the exception of maybe three or four players, have already had it, so they don't have to test anyone. They're like, hey, we're great.
Well, they have had a big outbreak there, right?
Literally, he said everyone basically on his team has had it. So he's like, I hope we don't get it again, but they don't have to test for 90 days. So LSU is sitting pretty right now. They're like, bring it on.
All right, well, we'll get back to that. I want you to vote. I want you to vote hard at 1080thefan.com. But wrapping up Monday Night Football because, well, mundane games, usually we don't talk about because, well, they're mundane.
Sure.
But that had a lot to talk about, even though it was a mundane game.
Look at you being clever yet again.
Right?
Boy, you are just on fire today.
Thank you.
Well, the Pittsburgh game was kind of bleh, but...
The Titans and the Broncos was the most Titans-Broncos game ever.
You don't like 7-7?
No.
You're not feeling that?
I don't like 14-13.
Do you like missed kicks?
16-13. I do like that. I thought that was great.
And then he went to no sock in order to kick the game winner?
That was drama. You know... Gostkowski is a great kicker.
Yes.
And the Titans sign him.
Well, last year he was hurt and New England got rid of him because he couldn't make a kick.
But he's greatness.
He was.
But he's still around. You know, mm-hmm. He's like Vanderjack. Those guys never age. Yeah. Justin Tucker's still kicking. Mm-hmm.
But Justin Tucker's actually still good.
So he signs with Tennessee because Tennessee had such horrible kicking last year. I mean, it was a joke. And their first game out, he misses three field goals and an extra point.
And they're down by one.
And they're down one. Amazing. Like, and then Vrabel, you know, the Titans drive down, and it was a stupid game. It was a very Titans-y, Broncos-y game. It was just like those two teams, you know, they don't look very good. They're just like, you know.
See, I think Tennessee's all right. I mean, Tennessee should have blown them out.
Well, you're only saying that because they made the AFC championship game last year. Are they really that good?
I don't know if they're really that good, but I think they've got a top five defense. They've got a quarterback in Tannehill who last year, at least in the red zone and for a good hunk of the season, he's like a Kirk Cousins type.
That's coming back.
I think you've surrounded him with some good weapons and you had the best running back. So I think Tennessee's better than you give them credit for. And to be fair, if they could have punched it in a couple of times, or if their kicker could just make something, then that really is an easy kind of cruise win for Tennessee.
Well, but they couldn't.
And we're talking about them different.
They couldn't.
Well, to be fair, their defense played well at the goal line, too. Denver could have had a couple of easy touchdowns they didn't get.
Valid point.
And that's my thing about Tennessee is they always do this. Like, they should have kicked their ass probably, but they didn't.
No.
Because they're Tennessee.
I mean, if Jerry Jeudy makes a couple catches, then it's a moot point because Denver probably closes out that game.
Way too many ifs.
Yeah. Ifs here. And buts.
Way too many ifs. The reality is Tennessee had to rally last year just to make the playoffs. They got hot with Tannehill. They, you know, it was good. But I don't know. To expect their offense to be as good as it was last year. Did you see that red zone stat they showed at the end of the game?
Yeah, we were talking about that last year when they were going into the postseason. When Tannehill became the starter, they had the best red zone offense basically ever.
Well, they said, yeah, this was, I think the stat they showed last night was from week whatever on, they went into the, they got into the red zone 30 times.
Yeah.
They scored a touchdown 26 of the 30.
It's absurd.
And they said that was the best in 40 years.
Yeah, and they were basically saying
Ryan Tannehill.
They were saying there's no way that can continue. And this is to your point.
That's what I'm saying.
They're going to come back down to earth a little bit. I just think I give Tennessee more of a puncher's chance than you do.
Well, it's not that I don't give them a puncher's chance. I just don't think they're great. They're good, not great. And Denver is okay. It was just a stupid game. But the reality
is... I like Rob's his ultimate analysis. It was a stupid, silly game.
It was a stupid game. That was boring, but it was close.
Really boring.
It was close.
Yeah.
And it's great when a kicker starts effing up. I mean, did you see the Denver fans on Zoom were just laughing when Gostkowski missed the extra
point? I was laughing hysterically.
So funny.
That extra point, I was just like...
That became the drama of it. Is like, oh my God, this guy can't make a kick. So when he came back out for... It was all... Nothing short of what was it? 25 yards?
Something like that.
To finish the game for the game winner? Well, shouldn't have been the game winner because there should have been a minute and a half left. But
do you think Fangio
plays for
the
Titans?
You think he just was like, look, there's no way he's making the kick. They're not going to score against us. So we'll just ride this thing out.
I think he thought that if he had timeouts left at the end of the game, they'd get extra points or something.
I think
what was he doing?
Maybe he thinks you can carry them over.
Well, he did admit today. At least
what did he say
so
about it?
He'll have five timeouts next game.
He came out. I'll get you the quote, but he admitted that he botched that one. So,
well, at least own it.
He said the lack of timeouts was totally my fault.
He said he didn't want to ice the kicker because he'd been missing so much anyway. Yeah. So what was the point?
Well, it wasn't icing the kicker. No, it was getting the ball back.
Exactly. He said, I didn't think that the ice the kicker was worth it because he'd been struggling anyway. I did miss calling a timeout after the second play down from the 29-yard line. Derrick Henry got 13 yards to our 16. I should have called timeout. That was the one I missed.
Okay, well.
You missed many opportunities.
Yeah, not accurate.
There should have been a minute to a minute and a half for them to get the ball and go down and have an opportunity to kick a field goal of their own.
After first down, I don't remember what down it was, but you knew that the Titans were going to try to score a touchdown because they didn't want to run their kicker out there.
Yes.
So they weren't going to try to get a first down. They were going to try to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
So at that point, they still only had like second and third down, I think, they needed only 2 or 3 yards. But you've got to call a timeout there.
Yes. 100%. I mean,
you have to. And then I think the one before they should have called a timeout.
I can't believe
it. And then they still would have had one timeout to spike it and get the game-winning field goal.
I can't understand how someone wasn't in Fangio's ear from the box being like, hey, man.
Don't you think there was?
Shouldn't we be blowing this thing right now?
Did you guys see? So when they were showing Fangio on the sideline right at this critical moment, and he wasn't calling a timeout, and we were all yelling at our TVs like, what are you doing, you idiot? Didn't you think there was a guy behind him? You could kind of see a guy behind him. Like, you couldn't see what he was saying because he had a mask on.
But he was like, dude, time out.
It did look like he was saying, you know, you might want to, you might want to call a timeout.
We all collectively, it's weird when everyone in the free world, including Andy Reid, is like, hey, this is poor clock management. And yet, in that moment,
that's not just poor clock management. I mean, that is fireable.
It's bad.
I mean, that's really bad. Like, you cost your team the game because you know they could have gotten down there and gotten at least a field goal,
They had 15 seconds left, and they got almost to midfield.
Yeah, it's bad. There should have been a minute plus, somewhere between a minute and a minute 30, depending on when those were used, to take a crack at that. And I get that your odds are still fairly low at that point, especially if you use all your timeouts. But my God, in today's NFL, you don't even give yourself a chance? To go down there, it's bad.
Would I had this thought at the end. Would you have put McManus out there to try to kick the field goal from 69 yards or whatever?
Hell yeah. Why not?
70 yards.
Hell yeah.
Instead of whatever they did where they just threw it underneath the Judy and hoped that something would happen. Like, you're in Denver. You have one of the better long kickers in the league. Go give it a try. Why not?
Fangio's clearly not smart enough.
Problem with that is you have to kick it so low. You can't get over the – I mean, it's –
Well, it would have been a record, but, you know.
Well, I'm just saying
– It would have been a large
– Denver.
Anytime you're kicking from that, the problem with that – because people ask that all the time, like long field goals, why don't they attempt them more? I guess at the end of the game, it's moot because, you know, it's not like it can get blocked and run back for points you've lost anyways. But in order to, like, because people say all the time, like on kickoffs, right? You look how far you kick it. But again, the trajectory of the ball, in order to get it up over the line, you got to put some air underneath it, and you can't kick it 70 plus yards that way.
I still would have tried.
Yeah, why not?
You think old drunk Elway was happy with Vic Fangio? Because you know he's up there all lit up.
He's soused.
Dude, getting pissed. I would be so pissed if I were a Bronco fan.
It was
unbelievable.
It was pretty inexcusable.
So then they run Goskowski back out there, and boy, the drama of, look. It was a 25-yard field goal, but I've never been on the edge of my seat more. Like, oh, please shank
it. You've already missed four.
I know.
Like, can you see a guy crawl into a hole? Just and he wasn't wearing a sock. I guess the thing was, so I didn't find out till after the game, but he wasn't wearing a sock on his kicking foot. So I guess he said that all during the summertime he didn't wear socks. He wore his little kicking shoe and he was kicking barefoot. And he said that something got in his head where he just was so mentally, he's like, couldn't figure out what was going on, that he went over to the sidelines and he took his sock off and put his little kicking shoe on and was like, I'm going back to what was working for me. And, you know, he got it through. And I guess Tennessee said that he's going to be their kicker, I guess, at least for another week.
Well, he's better than the alternative, which is nothing.
Because of what I read, right? He's vested. So he'll get paid his entire season salary no matter what.
Well,
so I think they're going to try to keep him around a little bit.
Did you hear Greasy? I think it was Greasy last night was saying, like, you don't want to be in, like, the most obvious statement of all time. You don't want to be in kicker limbo.
No.
And you really don't. Like, Cleveland's already in kicker limbo.
They brought in
last year.
I think you're better off trying to get Goskowski right.
Who is Cleveland the one that brought in Parkey?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was on their practice squad.
Yeah. And Cincinnati brought in someone, but I guess because their guy may or may not be hurt, but. You know, he's the guy that doinked one off and then claimed that he had a leg injury, but they brought in someone else. And
Tampa protected a kicker on the practice squad so nobody could take him, which I thought was very interesting.
I'll tell you what, man, making the NFL is hard. I made it there and then I wasn't any good and I was gone. But why more kids? Like, you got all these sports dads that are just so gung-ho, like, my kid's going to be in the NFL. Teach him to kick. Like, you never get hit. Just do that. From the time you're like 3 years old, you should have your kid out there. Instead of like teaching him to be like a running back where his career is going to be like 2 years and he's going to be out of the league anyways, or an old lineman where you just fall apart. Just have your little kid out there, man, just kicking from the time he's like 3 years old.
It does seem like something if you practice a lot.
Right?
You know, it's like golf. Like, you don't really have to be all that talented. Just practice. Start young and practice.
10,000 hour, Malcolm Gladwell. Just kick the ball. Because if you can kick, man, you can play forever.
I saw that kid from Georgia, that little dorky guy with the goggles.
Blankenship or something.
Blankenship. He's in the NFL.
Yeah, and he shanked one, too.
He shanked one, too.
And he's like the most accurate kicker in the history of college football.
Who's he kicking for?
I
remember watching it. Yeah, I don't remember what team.
Yeah, he shanked one, and it escapes me. But I saw the same thing. I was watching Red Zone, and I saw him miss one.
Colts.
The Colts. The other one is the kid out of Florida State whose name escapes me, who, again, this was a couple years ago. It was Arroyo, something like that. Same thing, was like the most accurate kicker in college football history, and Tampa drafted him like in the second round.
Oh, he was terrible.
He was terrible.
Aguayo. Roberto Aguayo.
Yeah, I think he's out of the league.
Oh, he's definitely out of the league.
Like, I don't even know how that happens because, like, I get it. Like, for me, like, I'm good in college. I get to the NFL. And it just, there's a huge gap there, and you just, like, there's a dip, like, you're blocking someone, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, this guy's just better than I am. I'm not quite good enough, or, you know, injuries, your body wears down. But when you're kicking, it's just kicking.
Don't you think it's mental?
It's got to be, because, I mean, I get the ball slightly different, but and the uprights, but it's the exact same thing, and there's no one else that you're playing against. It's not as if all of a sudden the holder is like a real challenge. And yet all the time, these college kickers that are really good can't cut it.
I think it's mental.
It's got to be. So this kid melted down.
Roberto Aguayo, the most accurate kicker in ACC history, third most accurate in NCAA history, and he was taken in the second round.
Yeah.
And he sucked.
Couldn't make a kick, like even an extra point to save his life.
Well, Titans have missed 13 of their last 22 field goals.
It's not good.
That's unbelievable. So I don't know what they do, but like I said, I think you're kind of stuck. Like all the good kickers are taken. Yeah. You got Goskowski, who's used to be great.
Used to be good.
Work with that.
What's Morton Anderson up to? Where's Gary Anderson's old ass? Just roll him back out there. Have him kick field goals. It's true though, man. It's like you can't find one. And when you do find one, you hold on to him for grim life or grim death, I should say.
Okay, well, we've got a couple Monday Night Football leftovers we still need to discuss, and we'll get to those next. And then we'll talk about when the Pac-12 may fire up football. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we've lost Rob to, I don't know, maybe he's got caught in the sub pump in there. But we're wrapping up kind of some Monday night randoms here. Now, to the point to Mike Lynch that Drew Lock sucks, you'll hate this advanced stat that I saw at Pro Football Focus, but you'll love it. On one hand, you'll hate it on the other. So I was looking, and they were doing the positive negative plays for all quarterbacks across the league. And the number three quarterback with least negative plays in all of the NFL week one, Gardner Minshew.
Great.
Yeah. Unfortunately for you, the number two quarterback for negative plays in all of the NFL week one
was Drew Lock.
Drew Lock.
Yeah. What do you mean negative? What does that mean?
So Pro Football Focus basically get like when you run an offensive play, and it's running plays don't necessarily count in this, but anytime you draw back and you throw the ball, positive, negative impact on your team. And, you know, it's a quarterback. It's like a quarterback war. So Gardner Minshew basically had the third best war
for
quarterbacks
did.
In the NFL week one. Drew Lock had the second worst of anyone in the NFL.
Well, he missed a lot of throws. Yeah. There were some wide open guys that he overthrew.
Yeah, it wasn't good. So this goes to the point like with Philip Rivers, right? It's like sometimes the numbers don't tell the whole story. You look at a guy and you're like, oh, the numbers are pretty good. But if you actually watched it play, you're like, ah, that's not so good. And Drew Lock numbers don't look horrific.
Remember, though,
but when they do a deeper dive into it, Drew Lock did not play well for Denver.
This is game 5 or 6 for him in his career. So there's still a lot of growth potential. I'm very much on the fence about him. Bronco fans are obsessed with Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Like he's like the savior. And he looked really good last year in a small sample size, and he got them to some wins. And yesterday, like on the first touchdown, when he threw it to Noah Fant and he was rolling out and he directed him back to the right side of the field and threw across his body, it was a good throw. It was a good play. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Drew Lock is really making some big strides. And then he overthrew like 5 open guys the rest of the game. So it's maddening. I see some promise, but I'm really on the fence about him.
And there were 2 big drops, to be fair to Drew Lock. There were 2 really bad drops for Jerry Jeudy. And the one at the end of the game there,
would have been a first down.
If Jeudy catches that, he runs for a good 10, 15 yards. And maybe that seals the game or your chance to at least put another field goal on the board, forcing Tennessee to go down and try to get a touchdown. So I just thought it was interesting that I was looking through that. Oh, the Monday, or in this case, the Tuesday, I always go through the Pro Football Focus stuff, and it gives you a little bit more of an in-depth. And again, not everything they say is gospel, because again, you're just talking about analytics and the way they grade things. I just thought it was interesting that Drew Lock came out as the second worst as far as negative plays go. And I don't necessarily think I would have saw that from having watched the game. Gardner, though.
Yeah, I don't.
Gardner Minshew.
When I watch him, I don't see all that bad. I mean, that pains me to say that because he's from Missouri.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's from Missouri. He just looks like a douche. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think so too. So I didn't think he was bad. He's got a good arm.
Well, yeah. I mean,
and he's got good feet. But he's...
See, I'm not certain about that. Like when you watch some of those, and this is a little bit of the Josh Allen stuff too. Baker Mayfield has some of this. When you see guys with clean pockets and they have unsettled feet, I think a lot of that is why they are inaccurate. And I think Drew Lock has a little bit of that. Some of it is, again, you're under pressure a bunch,
well,
but
I don't know. I he doesn't look bad to me, but he also doesn't look great. So what does that mean? I don't know.
It's undecided.
And he has an idiot for a coach. So that doesn't help him.
But there is weapons there in Denver, and you know, that could easily
Pat Shurmur's his OC now.
That easily could have been a easily could have been a win for them. I think, like, and Denver's one of those teams that you expected to be a 7-8-9 win team. And
then they lost Von Miller, and you kind of lowered that a little bit.
Yeah, but see, they look like a 7-8-9 win team.
Exactly.
They did not get a good pass rush yesterday without Von Miller.
No, but I think the Von Miller thing, we make such a big deal of that. And if you look, especially like in Vegas, there's very few players that mean a ton of wins and losses. You're talking about losing a Von Miller.
I'm just talking about watching the line of scrimmage yesterday. Bradley Chubb was not getting the same push that Von Miller normally gets. And Jarrell Casey played well, but he's a defensive tackle, right? He's more in there as a run stopper and batting passes down and, you know, pushing up. They didn't get any pressure on Tannehill at all.
Von Miller, and yet they still hold him to 16 points. I get there was a lot of missed kicks. I just think we overvalue.
They were great at tackling Derrick Henry. That gave me some.
They did
some
a real, they did
the
a real
season.
Nice job. And he ended up with, you know, I think he ended up with 116 yards, but it took him 31, 32, something like that.
He was carries. Not breaking any tackles.
No, they did a nice job. Happy. So again, I think Denver will be fine. I think Denver will be a 7 or 8 win team. And then hopefully
you took out the 9.
Yeah, I think it took out the 9. I hope by the end of the
that
year
that was the 9th win right there.
Well, and it's true. Like when you're, and this is why I said, like when you're the Colts, right? You gack away wins like you did against Jacksonville. When you are a team that is going to be struggling for your playoff life, like the 49ers should be fine, right? Or if you're, I don't know, if you're Indy or not Indy, but if you're Baltimore or you're a team like that, you give away a game, you're fine. You're going to be a 12, 13, 14 win team. You're in the postseason. But when you're Denver or a team like that, even Tennessee, and you're fighting and you know at the end of the year it's going to come down to a game or two, you cannot afford to give away winnable games. And that one for Denver and Tennessee was a winnable game. And that is one you can look back at the end of the year and see one team's in the postseason, one team's not. And a game like that is the difference.
Well, they both tried to give it away.
They did.
But Fangio tried harder.
Yes.
So he's like, he gets the medal.
He just said openly, I don't want a chance to win it at the end. I don't believe in Gostkowski's ability to make a kick. So let's roll with that.
Why can't coaches keep their faces covered?
I don't know.
Did you notice that?
That is very weird.
Sean McVay came out and said that was directed right at him. But
well, it was, but Fangio couldn't keep his face covered, and neither could Vrabel.
Vrabel kept putting it up, taking it down, putting it up, taking it down.
I don't know
putting
why they do that.
Just
leave it up.
Yeah.
You have a little headset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, just do the Andy Reid and wear the face shield. Just swap it out.
And I love the guys with the face masks on. And then they cover their mouth with the play sheets, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was Sean McVay.
Make sure nobody could see what they were saying under their mask.
Reading the lips through the masks.
One last thing about Monday Night Football. Did you enjoy the Monday Night Football crew, the new crew? Steve Levy.
I didn't mind it.
Boy, Steve Levy drives me nuts.
He is.
Is he a little too.
He's over the top.
A little too lighthearted for you?
No, he's not lighthearted. He's just. He over broadcasts. Like, he's too excited.
Yeah.
Like, calm down, Steve. Just.
That's
calm
what,
down.
And I guess that's what I meant by lighthearted. There is a excited puppy energy, if you will, about him.
Makes me nervous.
And I do feel like at times it was hard for Riddick and Greasy to find a, you know, they stepped over each other a lot.
I love Riddick. Greasy was not great.
I didn't mind it.
But it was better than last year.
Yes, it's better than Jason Witten and Booger. And remember, this is their first time being together. So like anything else, and let's just say with Drew Locke,
give him time.
Give it time.
Give it time.
Give it time.
Everybody
time.
Was saying that they loved Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler.
And we didn't get to hear anything.
I didn't hear that. Yeah, yeah. Well, they were on the Steelers game?
They were on the Steelers game, and we had it on, but we had the sound off because we had to do this dumb show. So I did not hear
and
that.
And it is dumb.
But it sounds like that is not, that's a one-off thing, that they'll be doing college games, and that was just for the doubleheader. Now, if you want a little, something that you could take away from last night, I want 2 Monday night games. I loved the early and the late game because it appeases the East Coast people. I do feel bad for the East Coast when you get these games. I mean, it's ridiculous at the time. You can't watch that if you're on the East Coast. So I love having the 2 options. I wish we did more of the doubleheader Monday
nights. Isn't this worse for them because the second game's at 10 p.m. Eastern?
Very late.
That's the thing is you just give up on the second game and at least you get the one you can watch. So I like it. You give one for the East, one for the West, and
but
so
isn't
be
the
it.
One that starts normally only an hour later than the one that started yesterday? Monday Night Football is at like 5.
Yes.
Our time.
Yeah.
And this one started at 4.
Yes.
So it's only an hour.
You give them an extra hour, and then we get the second one for the late night. Get rid of Thursday Night Football. If you got rid of Thursday night and gave me 2 Monday night games, I'd be on board. I liked it.
I think I'd be on board with that too.
Because Thursday night football is an abomination and it just sucks and it should be done away with.
You ready for Browns Bengals this Thursday? Woo!
Why not? Is that the Thursday night game?
That's the Thursday night game.
Oh, God's sakes.
God.
We've both invoked the Lord now at this.
Pretty sure it's Broncos Jets in 2 weeks.
Can the Lord our God come down and smooth that game?
Did you hear what he just said?
We got the Jets?
Broncos Jets?
In 2 weeks, I think.
It's still better than Cincinnati and in Cleveland.
I don't know that it is.
And watch me once again.
I want Burrow.
I can't separate the two teams. No.
So week, it's even worse. Week two, Cincy Cleveland. Week three, Miami Jacksonville.
Yeah, hell. Hey, we get Gardner though. So
yeah, Minshew will make that watchable.
Week four, Denver Jets.
That what?
Jesus.
Who the hell's in charge of that schedule?
Week five, Tampa Chicago.
Well, I guess like that. Are they just like punishing teams? Like, hey, we think you're going to suck and we know Thursday night football is going to be bad anyways.
Chiefs Bills week six.
All right, I'll watch that. My Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
Would you guys like Monday morning football?
You're bright and early. Go play it in England, right?
Yeah. Turn it on at 8.
Seems I think that's going to
hurt.
Too much? It's going to hurt the audience a little bit.
All right. Well, okay. There is your Monday night football wrap-up show.
Yes.
That was a post-game show right there. Vic Fangio is a moron, and he, in my opinion, will not last the season.
Probably not.
They're going to fire him.
Although,
that was the start.
We didn't talk about it at all, but it's worth noting. Oh. Pittsburgh's good. We thought that with Roethlisberger back, that Pittsburgh would be a contender, and everything we saw last night, I think they are.
Good little ball club.
And that's what James Conner hurt most of the time, too.
And Roethlisberger looked good.
Yeah.
Slinging around, slinging that wood.
He looked good, and he looked not as fat. I think Roethlisberger dropped a couple LBs, looked like he was in shape, and I liked it. I mean, again, we were watching the show, so you didn't get to see all the little nuances of it, but I liked what I saw from Pittsburgh.
All right, well, when will the Pac-12 actually play? Could be sooner than you think. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, the NBA steals the show tonight. Boston, Miami just underway. That's the East Finals, Game 1. Celtics are up 9 early. And then Clips, Nugs, Game 7 is later tonight.
Well, and don't forget about your Tampa and Lightning.
Yeah,
they try to close it out and get to the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. They're up 3-1 on the Islanders.
Yeah, if they win that game, they're in the finals.
They're in the finals against not the Tampa Bay Lightning, but the Tampa Bay Lightning would be playing the Dallas Stars.
What are they doing in there?
They're just scoring.
It's a big deal.
Scoring and scoring and scoring.
Where'd that come from?
They were not supposed to be there.
I did not have them in there.
No, no one did. I mean, they were.
And they've beat the top two teams in the West.
Yeah, they were an absolute afterthought. In fact, that dude who had the parlay ticket, that he sold it for $3,000. it actually ended up being good because remember he hit the NFL. He hit the World Series winner. He hit like four or five like major championship wins, and he needed the Houston Rockets, which lost. But by far the longest odds of any of the ones that he picked was the Dallas Stars.
He had the Dallas Stars.
He had the Dallas Stars, and that was the one. I think they were like plus 30. I want to say they were like plus 3,500. I think when he bet on that, and you know, the Rockets ended up losing, so it was a good thing he sold the ticket. I think he sold it for $3,000, but the longest shot was the Stars, and here they are in the finals.
So the Rockets cost him how much money? Like, if he kept the ticket and the Stars win the Stanley Cup.
It was a $40 ticket, and he would have won $445,000, something like that.
God.
And he sold it for $3,000, and he sold it when the Rockets were in the second round and the Stars were in the second round. And that was the last two that he needed.
That's a smart sell.
It is a smart sell.
Because of the Rock. Well, because of both, really. I mean, even though the Stars haven't won
it. No one saw this.
But the Rockets? What an idiot. Yeah. Why'd you put them in there? Moron. If he puts the Lakers in there, what does he win? 400 instead of 445?
Exactly.
Jeez.
I wonder if he had that. Like, I wonder if he had, like, the Lakers and then he had the Stars. I wonder if he would have had the balls to keep it rolling. Because now, I mean, then
now you would hedge. So if you had the Lakers and the Stars,
you hedge now because he probably could sell that ticket for what, 30, 40 grand?
Yeah, I think. Oh, you think so?
I bet so.
How much did he get out of it? You said
$3,000.
Three. So he turned a $40. He turned $40 into $3,000.
Into $3,000. Whoever had the ticket had a chance to win almost half a mil. But obviously, that's gone by the wayside now. But
so some guy paid $3,000 for that with the Rockets on it.
Yeah.
And
right at the start, it was right at the start of the second round of both.
Boy. I don't know why you'd do that.
Hockey is the damnedest sport where
Dallas has scored 63 goals in 18 games.
It's the one sport where look, the favorite wins more often than not, but it's the one sport where you truly get this sort of you get a dark horse, and it happens on a somewhat regular basis.
I like
sometimes
that about
it's
hockey.
The 8 seed too. Yeah.
The Kings won a number of years ago, their first one when they were an 8 seed, and I think they lost one game the entire Stanley Cup playoff. Think about an 8 seed in the NBA, not only winning the whole thing, but losing one game. And just, it happens in hockey. Now, that being said, I think they're going to get alley stomped by the Lightning, but still.
Tampa.
Tampa Bay and the Lightning are both really good.
All right, well, we blew a segment. Coming up next, when the Pac-12 may play, 4 o'clock on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.